Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. This is your producer today, Stone Payton. This is going to be a very different and exciting version of Atlanta Business Radio because we are going to have the first of what I hope is many Women in Immersive Technology series, and it's going to be hosted by none other than Senior Director of Strategy with You Are Here, Miss Dana Dodgnick. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here again.
Well, it's an exciting time. Thrilled to do this. Take it away, Dana.
Wonderful. Well, I'm here this morning with two amazing women who are in this Women in Immersive Technology space. And with me today, I've got Annie Eaton, who is the CEO of Futurus. And we've got the wonderful Gabriella Arp, a local filmmaker here to Atlanta, who has produced
two VR films.
And we'll probably go into a lot of their background, but I wanted to give you both a moment to do a bigger introduction other than that. Annie?
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Dana. I'm really excited to be here today and especially to be talking about women in immersive tech, which is a subject very near and dear to all of our hearts. We've been working in that, well, in the field for a while since we are women in immersive tech, but we're trying to grow that and give others the opportunities that we have had and help progress that along to making an equal workforce.
Yeah, and do me a favor, and I didn't tee it up this way, but talk about our group.
Yes. So we have a group. We just started it earlier this year. It was launched on International Women's Day in March called Women in XR Atlanta. And it is a group for women to come together in the community to support each other, to uplift each other. There are opportunities for mentorship, sponsorship, all sorts of great ways to get connected. And we are even starting to host events. And it's just a really exciting time, especially in our city.
It really is. It really is. And it's been going great so far. Gabriella, you have to make it to a meeting soon. but you've been busy. So please go ahead and do a bigger introduction.
Sure. My name is Gabriella Arp. And thank you guys again so much for having me. I have been a documentary filmmaker for about 6 years now and recently got into the virtual reality space. I made my first VR film about 2 years ago called Traces, and which was about a woman with dementia and exploring her memories. And that was sort of my first foray into this new world. And ever since that, I've had a lot of amazing opportunities to go to different labs and learn more about the space. And my most recent film, Meeting a Monster, premiered at Tribeca and then at Cannes Next and Sheffield in Europe. And yeah, it's been a really amazing time for the film. It's about a former white supremacist and how she got into the movement and how she got out. So it's a very timely piece, and it's sort of helped me continue to explore this space.
It is super powerful. And when I donned my headset and sat and watched that for the full 9 minutes, from the start to the finish, my emotional range that hit within that time span probably ran from, you know, okay, curiosity to sheer terror to almost delight, right? By, you know, sort of coming full circle there and really understanding the breadth of that transformation. And then at our last event that we had, we actually had Gabriella Arp and another female in immersive technology, Kathy Hackle. We had them for a fireside chat. And during that session, we found out that your lead actress was there too. So I got some time to spend with her after that session. And to hear what you brought to the table was really exciting. And she was just delighted to get to be a part of that overall experience and to do her first film in VR as well. And it's very different VR filmmaking than the traditional filmmaking. Do you want to touch on little bits of that?
Sure, absolutely. I mentioned this at that talk as well, but I sort of fell into VR, which, you know, because it's such a nascent space, I think a lot of people sort of have that similar trajectory. I was in grad school and was working on my thesis, and the technology sort of became available. So I decided, why not? I'm in grad school. I'm probably not going to have access to this technology that as much when I leave. And so I sort of started experimenting a little bit in the space. And there's a lot of things that are much more interesting about VR. You get to actually take a space and make that a character. So, you know, the environment is almost as important as the story, which in film is, you know, the environment is important, but you can always do close-ups and focus on certain areas and really kind of guide the narrative yourself in terms of the environment. But in VR, people can see everything. So you really have to think more about space and our spatial awareness. And then there's obviously some really weird nuances of VR and filmmaking. You can't be in the scene, so you actually have to block actors and actresses in a different way and then leave the room and hope that they did what you had told them to do, which is really daunting as a director, but also sort of exciting because they kind of go into their own process and you really have to trust the people you're working with in a different way.
So you got started as you were in grad school, and I think everybody has sort of those interesting sort of stories of how they got started in the space. Annie, I bet you have one too.
Yeah, mine is also really weird. It's another one of those fell into it type of stories. And I actually used to work in the power industry in marketing, and I met my co-founder, Peter, there. He was working in training animations, and he had introduced the technology to me because he had been following it since the mid-90s. He got his first headset in 1996. It's like on display in our office. It ran off of VHS tapes, which cracked me up. And so he and I met, we became friends, and he brought in the Oculus DK1, which was their first ever developer kit. And while it probably, looking back on it, was terrible, at the time it was just blowing my mind. And being in marketing and coming from a household growing up where video games weren't allowed, I did not instantly think video games. I thought, oh, we could use this to make a power plant walkthrough or to help people with safety training. And so we tried to pitch it internally. It didn't work out. And we ended up just splitting off on our own and trying to sell it, and it worked.
That's a very similar story in how I got started, too. I was at Intercontinental Hotels, and someone was coming in to do some VR demos. And I got to walk through, at the time, it was an apartment building, an apartment in a building. And, you know, they were akinning it to a hotel room, and you could walk through, and it was room scale. And I had the controllers in my hand, and I'm, you know, beaming around and going to check out all the nooks and crannies of this gorgeous apartment. And at one point, I'm standing at the kitchen counter, and I go to put the controllers down on the counter that are not there, right? Because they're virtual. And for me, that was the, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I love the nuances of all those stories when you can kind of see the wheels churning and the what ifs. And it's all those what ifs that I think bring people to this and continue to build stories and build films or build experiences for different brands. I think that this place and time is really unique for women in our industry. And while I love to think that the whole industry is actually very collaborative in this VR and AR space right now, there's a uniqueness about it from a women perspective. I think because a lot of women might have come from a traditional film background or a business background and have recognized some of the, you know, pluses and minuses of a combined workforce, there's really a time to sort of put a stake in the ground and make a name for ourselves. Do you see that evolving? Not just in Atlanta, you could look at it on a national level as well, or even globally, but do you see that evolving, Annie?
I definitely do. I see it in Atlanta for sure, just especially lately, knowing all these women that have kind of come out of the woodwork since we started this group that I didn't even know were there. And I think that it's all about visibility and opportunity. And so as that evolves and that progresses, I feel that there will just be more and more ways for us to connect with each other. I know I've gone into events and meetups and rooms that have predominantly male audiences, and that is oftentimes very uncomfortable. I'm definitely better about that now. It doesn't really faze me, but early on, it just made me very nervous. And so I think as we start to even shift to like 20, 30, 35% women at events that are specific to immersive technologies and offices and things like that, then it will only make more and more people come out of the woodwork who already have the interest. They just may be a little shy or may not know that they will feel confident and comfortable there.
How do you see your world shifting? Obviously, you're a female filmmaker in this space. Do you get a lot of support from the community? Where are you sort of seeing that shift for you? Did you do traditional film as well prior and then migrated, right? Okay.
Yeah. I actually see a huge amount of opportunity for women. A lot of the labs that I've been a part of are run by some women that are my heroes. Kamal Sinclair, she runs Sundance's New Frontier program and is the person curating all those experiences. She's an amazing woman who actually spent a good deal of time working at the Woodruff Arts Center in Atlanta and went to Georgia Tech. And Jessica Brillhard from Google is sort of leading the way from a filmmaker's perspective and, you know, these new technologies. And I feel like for the first time, I'm actually seeing people at the forefront who are involved in VR and leading the voice, at least in terms of filmmaking. And that to me is super encouraging. And I think it's a lot easier to be able to have people to communicate with that are women that understand the difficulties of getting into the tech industry and that are willing to support you and send out information about grants and programs and funding for different projects. So to me, it's been really encouraging to see, at least on a national level, and as well in Atlanta, that women are actually a part of this and they're a part of it from the forefront and will hopefully continue to be at the forefront of developing this technology.
Where are you guys finding a lot of that? I know there's a few Facebook groups that are out there for women in AR and VR. I mean, literally just this morning, somebody said, hey, I'm going to Uganda, which was kind of ironic because I just returned. But I'm going to Uganda and I need some equipment for X, Y, and Z. Does anybody know of a way I can harness some equipment? And I was like, you need to talk to the Google Daydream Impact team, and they're sponsoring, you know, all sorts of technology needs, right? So just easy, fluid ways. Are you finding other places like other than Facebook?
Yeah, I'd say Twitter is a big one for me as well. And I did not use Twitter until about 4 years ago when I entered this field. And now if someone is in this field and is not using Twitter, I think they're missing a big opportunity. So there's so much support. There are women and other individuals that I never thought I'd be able to talk to. And I've reached out to them on Twitter and they've gotten back to me and I've gotten coffee with them. So it's a very powerful tool. I would say even if you think someone's not going to read your tweet or not going to see it, they probably will. And they might even respond. So if outside of that Facebook group, because I'm a member of it as well, that is a huge one. But yeah, Twitter's huge and just go for it.
Yeah, I would say similarly, social media has been big. As I mentioned before, I've been a part of a few labs that are really interested in bringing on new and emerging filmmakers. Sundance has a lab that I was a part of last year. Oculus has the VR for Good lab where I actually made this most recent film. And they all have their own separate Facebook groups. So they're posting opportunities as they come available. And sort of once you've gone through a lab, you're sort of part of their family and their program. And I found so many resources and future opportunities through those spaces as well.
That's fantastic. We should probably start to get a running list of these things together that maybe we could post out there to have access to. So let's think about that.
Yes,
we got to add that
definitely.
To our to-do list. So you mentioned gaming earlier, Annie, and while it might not be sort of that space where you grew up and neither did I, well, I had an Atari and that's probably saying something for where we are right now. But recognizing that gaming has always been this really male-dominated industry and VR really plays into that. But do you see other industries that we can start to use these technologies for and that coming at it from a female lens could actually be beneficial?
I do. I always pride women on their attention to detail. And I think that's very important in a 360 world. What Gabriella was saying earlier about making the set around you a character as well, that works both in the film side and the digital asset side. So when you're creating a virtual reality environment, you don't just have to create a space that's going to work if you're looking forward. You have to create every little mug on the table and every chair and everything on the wall. Like, everything has to be realistic or however the goal is. It has to be detailed in that way. So I think that element of it, the design element of it, may be something that people can come in with those backgrounds and have an immediate fit in this industry. Also, I love the fact that virtual reality and augmented reality design are not just coding, not just straight development. There's a very heavy creative aspect to it as well. So even people who have backgrounds at agencies in maybe a different format can bring those skills in and hone those in on maybe UX design. So it's kind of coming up with these backgrounds and then cross-pollinating with the skills that are coming up in this industry that I feel make those roles unique.
I think that's huge. I think when you start to think about how do I migrate into this industry, right? If I'm not coming out of school and being taught it, how am I going to start to make that migration? I was spearheading photography and video and really pushing on the innovation side at IHG and struggling because their priorities were in different places from a technology perspective. But I knew that's where we needed to go. The travel sector is huge for, you know, VR and getting there for AR as well. But there's just those moments when you say, I need to make a leap. I need to push. Do you have women who are coming to you now and looking, and maybe they're in a different industry and they're trying not to migrate? Have you run across any of those, Gabriella?
Yeah, it's funny because, as I said, I've only made two VR films. And when I made the first one, I really had no idea what I was doing. And after making the first one, because it is such a nascent industry, I sort of became an expert in the field, which was absolutely not my intention when I was in grad school. And so now that I've made a second one and sort of have a better idea of the processes and the technologies are getting better, I'm noticing more people writing me and asking, you know, how did I create something like this? Or, you know, are there like, I think people think I run a bigger ship than I do, like asking to be an assistant on the films that I'm working on. And I'm like, I'm really just a one-woman band here. But yeah, so I think more people are becoming interested in just seeing a woman in the space and seeing the different ways that you can creatively use the technology. I have noticed more people reaching out and being really curious about how they can use the technology. Even at the talk that we gave the other night, I had a bunch of people come up afterwards that said just watching the film triggered all of these ideas that they had. One woman was a spoken word artist and had done a lot of performance pieces and was saying how she really wanted to bring her performances to VR so she could have more people to watch it, which I thought was a great idea that I hadn't thought of before.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And so just like, I think just showing the film, it, you know, just like any art form, going to a museum always triggers new ideas. And it's been really cool to sort of see people walk out and not just have an appreciation for the film and the story, but also get their brains working in a new way.
I think once people put on a headset, that's when there's those moments that you're just like, but could we do this? And can it do this? And, you know, and that's when you're just like, yeah, we can make it happen. I love the excitement after that SCAD event. And I love the female support that we're getting over at SCAD with Lee and Brantley over there. It's just amazing when you start to reach out, and you guys here at Radio X as well, just when you start to reach out and just ask for help, that, you know, it's sort of arms have been open pretty wide right now to bring everybody together and to collaborate even more. I always think it's also interesting as we're starting this Women in XR group that we need to have allies. We need to have allies, like we've got some fellas here in the room with us, but we need to have those allies out in the real world as well. I know we've probably come across incidents when you haven't had those allies, but Annie, share with me a little bit about some of the allies in your world today.
Yes. Well, I have many allies at work, which is nice, although I handpicked them because they were allies. That's one thing we're very adamant about in my business. We have a 50-50 men-women ratio at our office, and we intend on keeping it that way. And we won't hire someone unless they understand that it is a equal workforce. We are moving towards equality in the workforce across all technology, and we want to set an example of both male-female diversity as well as ethnic diversity. So we try to lead by example there. There are definitely situations where that doesn't happen, and I know people do try, and there is a lack of talent, which is a huge issue, which I think is why mentorship and opportunities are very important. But I think that's one of the things that allies can do is help see opportunities and think outside of the box, not just think about a friend of a friend who may work there, look to the universities who are also helping to make this push, to look to, other mediums to spread that they're hiring. And of course, having a referral, having a reference is excellent, but it does limit your pool to a similar type of person, which can be an issue. And when you're creating these experiences, I mean, you don't just want one viewpoint. We were even looking at the hardware on one of the pistols that goes with the HTC Vive trackers. The controller, none of the women in my office can reach one of the buttons. And so we actually took it apart, printed a new button, and recreated it to work for smaller hands. So I'm thinking if someone was in that room and they had at least one person, there had to be so many people from a huge company that looked at that piece of hardware and said, oh, yeah, this works. But I don't think they tested it with the right types of people. So giving those opportunities. Another thing is amplifying people whose voices may not be as heard. If you're in a large meeting or even a small meeting and someone says something that gets looked over, repeat it. Make sure it was heard. Comment on it, even if it's a bad idea. Just make sure that you say, oh, okay, well, I appreciate your thought. I would go this route, but don't just ignore it. So yeah, those are a couple things. I could probably go on forever, but we have limited time.
I think some of the other challenges, aside from finding allies, is straddling motherhood and career. This isn't just in our industry, but I know you recently had a little one. And how has that, Gabby, really changed your focus as a filmmaker? And I know we're kind of jumping around to a few different subjects, but I want to make sure that this resonates across a variety of personalities. So,
yeah, definitely. I have a 6-month-old. His name's Oscar, and it was definitely it's a life changing event, and I think it's a very particular thing for women in this space. When I made my most recent film, I actually had to send the cut hours before going into labor because I found out I was being induced. And was like, I haven't submitted the film to Tribeca yet, and I know I'm not going to have time afterwards. And my husband thought I was crazy, up in my computer, 9 months pregnant, just frantically trying to get this piece out. And I submitted it and got a call a week after he was born that it had been accepted to the festival. I said like 2 of my babies were born in that same week, which is awesome.
Amazing.
But it has been, really challenging. I have much more limited time now that I'm, caring for him. And at first I was really anxious about that and felt like that was going to be more of a restriction than a benefit. And I think being a mom in the space just makes you more picky about the projects that you choose to work on. And it really refines your creative voice. So my priorities are different now than they were 6 months ago. And I want to be working on things that are going to, impact Oscar in the future. And also that I'm really passionate about and feel are needed in the world. So whereas before I had the time to, do any project that somebody called me to do, I just don't have that time anymore. So it's really sort of refined my vision as an artist and a filmmaker. And I do laugh that he'll see this when he's like, you know, however old, 12 or 13, and the technology will be so far beyond this that he'll be like, you're such a loser, you know. But I'll be like, this film went to Tribeca, and he'll be like, what is this headset? You're so weird, Mom. Why did you make this? But, you know, I also want to be an inspiration to him of, you know, doing work I'm passionate about and for him to see that in his daily life.
I think looking at it from a child's eye, and you'll get there. I've got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and it's really interesting when I bring home augmented reality work. And, you know, we've developed this whole AR city for a client recently, and he's at, you know, 3'7" or however tall he is, right? And he's looking at this city experience almost at street level because it's built for a tabletop, right? And to see his POV really down low, it's like he's running through the city, whereas we're, as adults, like looking at it down and in. So just getting that childlike vantage point also, I think, brings a really new perspective as well, which, like I said, you'll get there. So maybe it's something we can start to think about as mothers and migrating what we do. And sometimes, you know, my kids always want to come to the office because it's, you know, a lab full of fun. But allowing for that to on new projects, because there's really a different perspective that comes along when you're, you know, under 4 feet tall. But also just this natural, you know, the digital natives that we're rearing right now. It's scary. I brought home a HoloLens one day and put it on my 4-year-old, which I wouldn't recommend. Because now she asks, can you bring the unicorn back to my bedroom? And it's just an out-of-the-box, right, little, you know, piece they've got from Microsoft. But it's just so funny. I'm like, oh, we're not bringing the unicorn back for a while. But let's also focus on the juggling. So you've got a business. You started XR Atlanta how long ago, Annie?
About 4 years ago. Actually, I think 4 years ago, like last week. So,
oh, yay. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I started that about a month or two, well, month-ish, before we started the business, before we decided we were starting the business. And one of the reasons we did start it was just because we had so many people. I think we had over 200 people show up to our first event, which we were not expecting at all. Like, we posted on Reddit. And we're like, hey, we're going to get together at Battle and Brew. Anyone can come. There'll be VR demos. And like 200 people showed up. We're like, okay, this is something. So at that point, we did. It's kind of like Gabriella said, people just thought we knew what we were talking about. And they started asking us how they could implement it in other areas. And after doing so much research and so much legwork to feel like we were prepared for that, we did end up leaping into starting a company. But we've had probably an event every month or two for XR Atlanta, which Women in XR is a part of. And then we also have a XR Dojo, which is a weekly kind of community gathering of developers who want to help each other learn and work through difficult issues that they're having with their development. So that's every week. And then now starting in August, we have XR Athens. So it's starting to grow outside of Atlanta, which is very exciting. And we're hoping as it grows, the Women in XR group grows as well.
Well, that was going to be one of my next questions. It's like, how can we attract more women to our industry? And obviously starting groups like this is definitely one way. How else do you think we can bring more women into the fold?
Yeah, I think just looking at VR, that it's not just, you know, it is technology, but you don't have to have a full understanding of tech to be involved. The applications for it are huge. So you can be a filmmaker like I am, or you can be more involved in the tech like Annie is. Maybe you're an architect and you want to find a new way to show the drawings that you're working on. It's really applicable to most fields. And so I think that, you know, even when I was a filmmaker, I was lucky to be in grad school. There's this fear when new technology comes out that, and I think women tend to sometimes not have that confidence, you know, after so long of being told they didn't have those skills naturally, of like, I don't know how to use this technology, and so I'm not going to even approach it. And I think that just reframing that and knowing that there are women who have that experience that are, you know, happy to share it, and that you can apply it to many different fields. And so you don't just have to be a tech wizard to be doing this. I certainly am not a tech wizard. I just thought it was an interesting way to show art. So I've found other people to lean on for the tech side that I'm not as savvy in. And so I think the more that we can just, you know, encourage people of all industries to come and try, we're in a really unique space in Atlanta that, you know, there's a lot of women leadership. There's a lot of women of color who are in leadership in Atlanta, which is, I think, really unique to our city. And so, you know, making sure that that leadership is in women in XR is super important as well.
Definitely, definitely. Annie, anything to add?
Oh, man, it's hard to follow that. No, I would just say for people wanting to get into the industry, I mean, all three of us have shared our stories of how we got into it. None of us knew this was what we were going to do. So even if you've already started down another path, there's no reason you can't change if you have the interest. It's all about creating your own path.
I agree. I come from the strategy side of things. I started in art school way back in the day, but then migrating into this space and just thinking how this strategically fits within, you know, a customer journey or in the workflow of a particular company, right? There's just so many different ways to find an entry point. And I think the other part of it is don't be afraid to ask. Raise your hand. Just ask for a seat at the table or a coffee. I think you'll find that the doors are wide open. And I would say, come to one of our Women in XR meetups. The meetups are public, right? And we're trying to get them to be more quarterly. But we also do a monthly meetup. And those are more of an invite only. But please reach out. You can find all of us on social media and different avenues. But how can we... What's the easiest way to reach out for Women in XR?
Yes, for Women in XR, all of the events are posted on XR Atlanta's group. So on meetup.com, it's just XR Atlanta, pretty easy to find. And then we also have xratlanta.com where you can contact us. So if you do have additional questions, you want to reach out to one of us, I personally get all those forms and I will point you in the right direction.
Perfect. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate your time here today. It was really, really wonderful.
Thank you so much, Dana.
Thank you, Dana.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Dana Dodgnik, our guest today, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time for Women in Immersive Tech.